wake up just to get down. I don't know if I can get them, but I got them right now. Hey, I wake up just to get down. I don't know if I can get them, but I got them right now.
Develop these bars for the developing stars, whoa. Wrecked by the stars though, but they know just who they are. The knowledge is deep, man, cause college is bleak, man. Knees of the bees, man. Devi happy hour now. I trust them with everything. Every compliment's giving me confidence. Hipping is hopping and really no stopping. I'll make you a champion, y'all put a sock in it. But this is life, bro. They're at it all night though, so you can just drive slow and get down with the Devi crew.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you are listening, wherever you are listening. This is episode 46 of the Devi Happy Hour. My name is Skip Newton, and I am broadcasting, recording, whatever you want to call it, from the basement studios in Eagan, Minnesota. It is episode number 9 for me, and I am happy to be here. It is Friday, June 19th, or Juneteenth, as we should be celebrating it, and we are recording a wonderful show today that we're going to go over the top players that are not in the Power 5 conferences. We've gone over the Power 5 targets for the last 8 episodes, but we know there's a lot of talent out there in these non-Power 5 conferences, so we're going to get into those because two or three of the top 12 fantasy players at every position last year, 2019, came from non-Power 5 schools, so we need to go gem hunting. But before we do, we of course want to talk about the fact that we are part of the Dynasty Happy Hour team of podcasts, led by the grandfather podcast, the Dynasty Happy Hour, with Tim Keller, Doug Eddy, and Tyler Gunther. They record every Sunday night. And then we've got the DHH Contractor podcast, hosted by Randy, a.k.a. Memphis. Memphis's show is really fun. He brings on a guest every week. It could be you. All you got to do is ask, and that gives you a chance to get on there. Just reach out to him on DM on Twitter. He's at DFF Memphis. Just like I tell my kids, if you don't ask, then the answer's no. So go ahead and ask him if you want to be on a show, and he will break down your dynasty roster and give you a roadmap for success. So really entertaining program there. And then the other podcast we have is the IDP Power Hour with at Oklahoma Doug. I finally said that right. I always want to say Dougie because every Doug that I know that's like a cool guy, I always want to call him Dougie. He's always gone by Dougie. And even though I've never met Oklahoma Doug, he seems like a cool guy. So I want to say Oklahoma Dougie, but it's Oklahoma Doug. And then Russ at ClutchRuss72. And without further ado, I need to introduce my co-hosts from Boston, Mass, Brian Shikosich, otherwise known as Shaq. I call him Master Yoda. Brian, how are you doing out east?
I'm doing great, brother. It's an excellent time to be talking some football after a couple long days of assembling IKEA furniture and you know, setting up a trampoline in the yard. So, yeah, I am ready to talk some ball because those were not the most fun and enjoyable tasks, but it's good to be here, bro.
What kind of trampoline did you get? Is it one of the like big circular ones with the safety net sides?
Yeah, and the instructions were despicably awful in terms of being accurate and easy to follow. So that just made it, you know, just exponentially worse. But yeah, it's a big 14-footer. My daughter was complaining she's got nothing in the yard, you know, so if we're going to be socially distancing and whatnot, she needs to be able to do something. She can't just, you know, go out in the yard and stand there. So she was right, and so we got us something. So she's excited about it.
Hopefully she gets as much out of it as my son because of the coronavirus and, you know, the quarantine and no soccer here. I would say 99% of his physical activity is from jumping on the trampoline every day with his friends. They make up games. They're jumping around. It's pretty cool. So
cool.
All right. The other co-host from North Carolina, I call him Obi-Wan. It's Matt Jackson. Matt, how you doing, buddy?
Doing well, Skip. Hope you guys are too. I'm glad to be back talking some football with you guys. It's been a crazy long week for me. So I'm really excited to dive into some of these deep dive guys, start talking some of their game film and just hang out with you guys for a little bit. It's been far too long for me, I guess. Not all that long, but it's been a long week of I don't have a trampoline in my backyard to go jump on, so I've got to entertain myself another way. So I got to watch some more college football. Work's starting to calm down a little bit, so I'm excited to talk to these guys, and I'm excited to, you know, deep dives with you guys. It's gonna be really fun tonight.
Oh, absolutely. And you kind of feel like things are starting to ramp up to the season. It seems like every episode we do now, there's more real news to talk about. Some of it not so good news, like the first one on our list, wide receiver Kyle Ford from USC, out with another ACL injury, his second in 3 years now. Really unfortunate for this kid. He had a bright future, you know, highly touted, highly talented. Would just love to see him get healthy and able to show what he can do. So really disappointing for him. I can't imagine having to go through one of those, because I can just understand the frustration of not being able to do what you love and having to go through not just the physical stuff you need to go through to get back from an injury, but it's the mental stuff too, right? You're not able to do all that normal physical activity that you're used to. You're not able to compete. And we know these guys are highly competitive, and that's got to be a big bummer for Kyle. What do you guys think about that one?
Yeah, I think if there's any receiver room in the country that can shoulder losing a big talent like Kyle Ford, it's USC there. We talked about it. I think we referred to it as an embarrassment of riches out there, and they have plenty of depth. You know, maybe it's an uptick slightly on Gary Bryant as a potential freshman to do something, but they have so many guys there. I mean, certainly it's an uptick on Brew McCoy's stock going into his redshirt freshman season, but they got lots of talent out there for the Trojans, and you just wish Kyle Ford well. Absolutely, you put it well.
Yeah, and I think we're in that day and age now where ACLs don't concern a lot of guys as much as they used to. So, you know, rehab has gotten a whole lot better than it used to be. But if there's a guy that I think sees an uptick in targets more than anybody, it's a guy that you talked about, I believe, a few episodes ago, Shaq, Drake London. He's somebody that I could see smashing even more this season than he already did last season with that big size that he has and just big play potential that he's got.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Another piece of news, Chuba Hubbard coming out and saying that he will refuse to do anything with his team until change occurs. Of course, this is relation or having to do with the racial issues, especially that of their head coach. Some real conflict there. And from what I've heard and seen on Twitter, Chuba's getting a lot of support as well, especially from teammates. So that could get ugly for that team unless something happens. You know, Shaq, what do you think about Chuba coming out like that? And how do you think this is going to get resolved?
Well, I mean, we'll see what changes are made. Gundy came out with Chuba in a video shortly thereafter, like a few hours later. And then the next day, people were pissed off that Chuba was the only one apologizing for anything, and that finally Gundy came out with a very scripted, read statement the next day in a video where he did apologize. For the people, anyone who doesn't understand it, like that network that he was wearing a T-shirt of, it has a preposterous history of some of the stances that they've taken. I mean, they make Fox News look liberal by comparison. I mean, they're absolutely like as extreme as you can get. People have talked about that their stance, some of the takes that they've had on Black Lives Matter, calling it a criminal organization and so forth. You're going to understand that in the dog whistle world that we live in, that the guys aren't going to take kindly to that when so many black lives in Mike Gundy's life are making him millions of dollars where they aren't seeing any of that money. So, yeah, I think we're going to see more and more players taking the power, realizing and understanding the power that they have. I mean, you just saw today, as we were heading into record, I saw that 30 players basically showed no confidence at UCLA in Chip Kelly, and they said that they want assurances if they're going to return for voluntary workouts that there's going to be a third party there for medical reasons because they don't trust Chip Kelly to run the show and keep their best interests at heart. That's not good news, but I think it's good news that players are realizing the power they have and using it. So and I think we're going to see more of it.
Yeah, just to touch on that a little bit too, you know, Chip Kelly, this isn't the first time that something's come out where we've had these issues. You know, when you look back at his days as a Philadelphia Eagles head coach, look at all the issues that he had with LeSean McCoy, DeSean Jackson, all those guys leaving because quote-unquote race issues are happening in the locker room. So this is something where, just touching on the Mike Gundy thing, where you know, you look at that video and it kind of seems like he was backtracking a little bit, because you look at Chuba's face and he's just not thrilled at the situation or the scripted apology at all. You just watch his body language and his body motions. You could tell it seemed a little forced, and that's something that concerns me a whole lot.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to tell when somebody is sincere when they're apologizing, and when someone's just reading from a script that, you know, their agent or someone else put together, some media guy, and that's unfortunate when you see that. I do love the fact that the Chuba is coming out and feeling empowered to try to bring about change. I think that is one of the things that we're seeing more of now, is this stuff is picking up steam, and it's not just it's going to be a hot topic for a week or two and then it's going to die down like it has in the past. I feel like this is different. I feel like this is finally enough is enough, and real change is going to happen. At least that's the optimist to me. So hopefully this keeps going, and these players that have an audience and have, you know, the ability to come out and be, you know, really open and kind of take a chance and be leaders, continue to do so, because that can't be easy to do that. I mean, that takes a lot of courage, and especially, you know, you're talking about, you know, these are still pretty young kids, you know, 20 years old. That's a big thing to all of a sudden go public like that. I mean, once you go out there, you can't take it back. So, you know, kudos to him, and he's getting support, and I love it. So in other college news, the SEC has announced that all 14 teams are opening campuses with students playing football in front of fans, per Brian Baldinger. So that's a big step, and hopefully a good direction. I think we all just are desperate for sports in general to be played. We all would love to see, you know, the ones that got delayed pick up. We'd love to see college football, of course, be played. But we've kind of understood that there's a pretty good chance that you won't see fans in the stands, which will definitely have an impact on the viewing experience, if you will, right? Because, you know, hearing fans get into it and the band playing, I mean, that, you know, you just watch highlights on YouTube, and that gets me excited for football. And I'm just watching a highlight. When you're watching a real game, I mean, for me, that's a huge deal. So this is interesting. I hope it works out. I'm optimistic, but man, that's a big step, man. Any thoughts on that?
Man, there's nothing like the atmosphere of a college football game played in front of fans. So I hope more than anything that we see fans in the stadiums this year. So we pretty much knew that there was going to be a college football season. We didn't know when it was going to happen, if it would be delayed, if it was going to be on time. But we weren't entirely sure on whether there's going to be fans in the stadium. So I'm stoked to hear that the SEC is at least considering having fans in the stadium. Now, what implications does that have on the spread of coronavirus? I don't know. Is that the safest move? I can't answer that either. But it's definitely exciting to think about the possibility of that happening, because fans in the stadiums makes college football one of the most electrifying sports in the whole business.
Yeah, I would agree. Shaq, what do you think about that? I mean, Matt touched on it too, and I agree with him. You're optimistic, but of course you want to make sure, you know, safety first. So any thoughts on that?
That's the thing. There are people a lot smarter than me who are going to have to make the calls on this stuff. And I hope they do. And I hope they make ethical, data-based, scientifically based decisions. And whatever those decisions are, if the right decision is not what we want, I hope that we understand, like any of us who are parents understand that sometimes the kid needs to hear not what they want, but what they need to hear. And right now, I think America is being a little bit childish on some of these issues. And if we need to hear something that we don't want to hear, well, too freaking bad. Like
Shaq dropping the hot takes tonight.
Yeah, well, it's real, man. You know what I mean? Like, look, if it has to be without fans and we get football, that's a win. I'm not worried about that. But because it's still on the table that we may not get it. Like, they can say they're going to do that all they want. If things keep getting worse and worse, there's no telling if that's going to end up happening. You know what I mean? So we'll see. I hope it happens. I hope we get to watch football. Obviously, we want to watch football. We're talking all off season about football. We love this stuff. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. And then kind of related, I read a report posted on Twitter by Ray Garvin at Ray GQ, awesome friend of the program. He said that schedules could be limited to 11 games and wasn't exactly sure of the details, but a lot of the speculation there is that campuses are going to shut down at Thanksgiving and then not come back until after the Christmas holiday. So I think that that aligns with that philosophy, is to get the games in before then and then take that break.
I saw that on North Carolina. It was on 60 Minutes. And they were talking about their plan, and they were going to start early, and they were going to go home at Thanksgiving, and they weren't going to come back, hopefully to sort of avoid some of the crest of that second wave that's expected to go along with flu season. God bless us. Hopefully, it you know, there's a brighter future in there. But if that's the case, I'm unclear on how they handle the end of any season. Right? Like, I haven't heard, I saw Ray talk about that, and he was referencing specifically, I believe, his school, D2 yep. school. So, I don't know if that translates the same differently, but I haven't seen a lot of coverage on it. So, I'm not sure the details on all that stuff. But I think it's, you know, when they've talked about, you know, they're trying to make sure that the athletes aren't put at risk if the regular students can't be there. And so, what are you doing now for bowls? What are you doing now for teams that are in the playoffs? Like, I don't know the answer to all that. Like, do you postpone it? Like, they had talked about that at one point, having some ball in the spring. Like, is there a giant break and then you come back in the spring? Like, again, I don't know the details, but every single thing, every domino that falls here, there's another whole stack of dominoes down the line, and we've got this story is just getting started.
Yeah, you brought up a good point there, because any player, if they delayed bowl games or the playoffs, you know, considerably, any player that's planning on going into the NFL, I'm sure they're out. They're not going to play. They're gonna go do whatever they need to do to get ready for the NFL. I mean, we already see that with some of these guys. If they're not in a significant, you know, bowl game or the playoffs, you'll see guys that aren't gonna show up and play their last game because they want to start getting ready for the NFL. So I could see that domino being one to fall for sure. Matt, sure. Any thoughts?
Sometimes even in a significant game, those guys don't even play. Like, you look at guys from Georgia's roster last year. I don't believe DeAndre Swift even played in the bowl game last year. And I mean, I don't remember what bowl game they were in, but I know it was a significant one. So, you know, that's one thing that I think is most important to hit on, is if we push back the start of the season, and if we look to cancel games and close campuses, that's going to affect a lot of things for the NFL guys. So that's just the one thing that really sticks out to me.
Yep. It'll be interesting. And we'll be here to provide updates whenever we have them. And we'd love to talk to you guys about it. If anyone has any thoughts on any of this and wants to discuss it on Twitter, reach out. We're always open. All right, let's get into the main topic. As I mentioned earlier, we're going to go over some non-Power 5 targets, and we're going to start with Shaq and Warren Jackson from Colorado State. You got me kind of tuned into this guy a little bit more. I started to fall in love. Why don't you tell me what you think about this guy?
Yeah, Warren Jackson, Colorado State, 6'6", 219 pounds, so genuinely freakish size. I love the fact that he was a junior captain. I think that speaks volumes to you. Any football team is going to have plenty of seniors to choose from, and the fact that he was one of the leaders, and it's not like he had exploded statistically. I mean, you look back on his previous season, he had 32 grabs, 405 yards, and 4 scores. He was certainly a guy who was ready to explode going into the year, but wearing that C on his chest, on his jersey, going into that year without having exploded yet, I think that says a lot. It talks about the kind of guy that he is. 77 grabs last year, 1,119 yards and 8 scores. He's giant, obviously, so you know that he's going to be able to use that as a skill, but he's also smooth. I really like the smoothness that he plays with. So he's fast, he's big, he's physically smooth, and he can do it all over the field. I really like Jackson a ton. New offensive coordinator Joey Lynch, he led a high-powered offense last year at Ball State and prior to that. Even though the Cardinals, obviously, at Ball State were pretty lousy, they finished 5-7, offense was not their problem. They led the MAC in scoring. They led the MAC in total offense per game. So you'd like to think, coming from Ball State to Colorado State, he's going to be able to find ways to use the offensive weapons at his disposal, because the Rams have several of them. We're going to talk about some in this week's episode, next week's episode. Like, the Colorado State Rams have talent, and that's worth looking at. So I love Jackson. I think he's a fantastic guy, a fantastic buy if you can get him. at any sort of a discounted price in a Debbie draft, in a C2C league. Love Jackson, man. What are your thoughts, fellas?
Yeah, for me, I love Jackson too. Obviously, enough to draft him in our C2C league. That's how much I like Jackson. So
there you go.
When you look at him, he does have that freak size that you were talking about, Shaq, and he does use it really well to be a pretty serious end zone threat. I saw several times him running either the fades or going up and getting balls on those post routes. So he does really well as a true end zone threat. One thing that really stuck out to me, guys, was just how physical this guy was. Mm-hmm. When you look at him in open space, I mean, he's giving guys just nasty stiff arms, throwing them to the ground, throwing guys all over the place. It's taking multiple guys to tack him to the ground. This kid is just, he's not somebody that just has that size and doesn't use it. I mean, he is a physical wide receiver, and he has speed too. So he's not as fast as some of the other guys we're going to talk about tonight, but he still has the speed to be a pretty big home run threat. He also runs really good routes to me. His route tree is more advanced than some of the guys we're going to be talking about tonight. So that was one thing I like. And he explodes very quick off the line. He gets off the line fast and into his breaks and into his routes. So this is a kid that I just absolutely love and happy, stoked to have him in my C2C league.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. I'm going to say a lot of the same things, right? I really like him too. The things that I notice is that he's a really smooth route runner, and he seems to accelerate nicely out of those cuts. So that is a good way to get open. What I really like is, you know, a lot of these tall guys, part of the advantage of being tall is you need to use that height to your advantage. And he does that. He will go up and catch the ball high where the defenders just have no chance, because they're, you know, they would look like me trying to defend that. I mean, they're just not tall enough to make the play, and they're not a 45-year-old, you know, non-Division I athlete like me. But, you know, it's
makes a difference.
It's just he really adjusts to the ball well, and he seems to have good field awareness too. I mean, he knows when he's near the sidelines, gets those toes down, makes you know, like Matt said, he makes the catches in the end zone. Yeah, I really like this kid. I mean, he's moving up my rankings for sure. I'm going to try to keep those updated every week. So, yeah, awesome guy. Let's go right into our next one. Matt, this one's yours from East Carolina, C.J. Johnson. Tell us about C.J.
Yeah, so I really like C.J. Johnson, guys. He is a 6'2", 220-pound sophomore from ECU. He finished last season with 54 receptions for 908 yards and 4 touchdowns. When you look at his game, he's been a playmaker last year, but he was even a playmaker in high school with 98 total touchdowns, even played some on defense. So this kid has been a baller at every single level so far, whether it be in high school or in college. He was named his freshman All-American team for Football Writers Association of America. He was an All-AAC player, and he even broke ECU and AAC single game receiving records with 283 yards when he played Cincy. So when you look at just some of the things that C.J. Johnson does well, he has great concentration at the catch point. He can go up and high point the ball. And we talked about how Jackson was physical. C.J. Johnson is just as bad a physical receiver as Jackson is. You know, he's not as much of a speed guy, but he wins his game and still has those monster yards by being such a truly physical receiver downfield. He's a true hands catcher, so he extends the ball really well. He does leave me with some questions about his separation. He can do it at the catch point, and he could go out and make those contested catches. But when you look at him, he seems to always have a guy trailing him or within arm's reach of him. So I do have some questions about his ability to maybe separate at the next level. But that doesn't matter when you're constantly winning your jump balls, right? So he's a physical receiver. He can win the 50-50 balls just about every time. He can go up and get the ball, and he has really nice hands. So he's one that I'm super excited about. But what do you guys think?
I love C.J. Johnson. I think he is a guy that, because he plays at East Carolina, a lot of people don't have on their radars. And that's going to change very, very soon, because he is a beast. He is one of those gotta answer for guys. And what I mean by that is he is somebody who coaches and recruiters gotta answer for. Why did that guy end up at East Carolina? I'm sorry, East Carolina, nice program. Okay, nice program. Coming out of the AAC, I mean, I like what they're doing. They're coming along. They're doing some beautiful things. It's one of the reasons why we talk about it. It's going to end up being a Power 6 at one point. But let's be real. East Carolina is still East Carolina. And C.J. Johnson, coming in as a true freshman last year, as an unranked recruit, He's got that size. He's got skills, man. I mean, real physical, beautiful balance. You watch him after the catch, through contact, through pass interference penalties consistently. And he's still making catches. Somebody on a bunch of staffs got to answer for the fact that we never recruited this kid. Are you kidding me? Because he's legit. He's the real, real deal. So I think he's going to be a hot target in Debbie drafts next year if he didn't go in your Debbie drafts this year.
Yeah, you guys are making really good points. I'm no geography expert, but no, Matt, you're from North Carolina. I know where North Carolina is. I know where South Carolina. Where is East Carolina? Is that like an island off the coast that I missed? Where is this
East,
place?
East Carolina is technically in North Carolina. It's about roughly 2.5 to 3 hours from actually where I'm at. So I get to see a lot of East Carolina games because they're on TV being televised near me. So, you know, I got to watch a little bit of CJ Johnson. I watched a little more doing scouting reports on him. But, yeah, just to hit on what Shaq says, I mean, he's just about the most physical receiver that you'll see on this list that we're talking about tonight. I mean, this guy can make any catch at any time, and it doesn't matter who's around him. So he's going to be somebody that you're going to see targeted heavily in C2C leagues or in Debbie leagues next year.
Just to pile on my point that I was making also, it's not like CJ Johnson didn't try to get everyone's attention. In high school, his last 3 years in high school, he had 233 catches for 5,003 yards. Receiving 5,003 yards and 75 touchdowns.
98 total in his career. I mean, this guy was doing it. I don't know why he didn't get recruited. It doesn't make any sense.
Go figure.
Yeah, you guys touched on all the things that I saw. This is one of those where I'm going to have to really trust your guys' opinion of this guy a little bit better than maybe my own. Because what Matt said about the separation was something that I noticed, and it does concern me a little bit. Is this a valid point? Going to be a great college player, and then he's going to get to the NFL and have a tough time separating. But you guys nailed it with the physicality and using his body. I mean, he absolutely does that really, really well. Probably one of the better ones that I've seen of all the guys that we talked about. So it'll be interesting to see how he progresses. But yeah, definitely a player that people are going to keep their eye on going into next year's Debbie draft if you haven't drafted him already in your league.
Especially the fact that he did it as a true freshman. You know, just walked off the street and started balling. I mean, the kid's legit. There's no
doubt. That's a great point. All right, my first guy is Reggie Robertson Jr. from Southern Methodist, SMU. He's a senior, 6 feet, 200 pounds. He's had two consecutive 800-yard seasons, each with 6 touchdowns, so very consistent. Consistent guy for SMU. He's got really good speed, great speed. He definitely will beat the corner deep. He makes some difficult and contested catches, which is nice for a guy that size. Has good yards after the catch, which I like to see. Usually speed guys do, but he definitely takes advantage of that speed. He also adjusts well to the ball. I noticed that a few times where he would make adjustments to a poorly thrown pass and make the catch. And he returns kicks, so he uses that speed there. We always like special teams guys. Of course, we tend to prefer the punt returners just from that dynamic standpoint, but still, the ability to return kicks is important. Reggie's one of those guys that he's a little deeper dive, but he's someone that I think people need to keep their eye on. Matt, do you have any thoughts on Reggie Robertson? What do you see when you watch this kid?
I mean, did you steal my paper? Because it feels like every point that you said, you read exactly line by line what I wrote down on my scouting notes on Robertson. You know, yeah, you mentioned his ability to adjust well to balls and make those really tough catches. I saw that on his game film. The one thing that really sticks out to me about Reggie, though, is just his wicked speed. I mean, this kid is absolutely fast. I wrote down fast with like 6 or 7 exclamation points when I watched this kid's film. He's constantly hitting those big plays. He's a big play, big speed threat guy. I mean, he's going to be a guy that's just – he's just fun to watch him just absolutely beat corners and just destroy corners to get to where he needs to get and just hit those big home run plays.
All right. Before we move on – oh, Shaq, I'm sorry. Do you have anything on this guy? My bad.
Yeah, just mainly piling on what you guys are saying. I like him as a prospect. I think he's super interesting. I am a little bit concerned on one hand that he had a very nice season returning kicks as a sophomore. He spent his freshman year at West Virginia and then transferred. Had a nice year returning kicks. But he didn't get the job last year. So basically he had CJ Sanders taken. I mean, I mean, there's, I guess, the argument, right? CJ Sanders was very elite. He had almost 1,000 yards returning kicks last year. So, which, you know, on one hand says how good he is at it, and on the other hand says there was a lot of touchdowns being scored on SMU. But it's neither here nor there. Look, I like Reggie Roberson a lot. I want to see him take a big step forward. Very, very similar stat lines over the last 2 years. I want to see a jump ahead in 2020. So I like him. I think he's got some beautiful speed, and I think he has the skills to contribute in the kicking game, which we've talked about many times. We love that. And that'll give him a shot at the next level. So I do think we need to see a bit of a leap forward this year. So we'll see. I think he's an interesting guy to watch. I think SMU will be fun. You got Shane Bichelle there back at quarterback. So there's everything queued up for him to do that. So we just definitely want to see that happen.
All right. Yeah, I agree. We got to look for a an improvement there in the production numbers. So before we go on to our next guy, really quick, how would you guys rank these three players in your rankings? You've got, you know, just real quick, we've got Warren Jackson, CJ Johnson, Reggie Roberson Jr. What's your order? Let's see if we can come to a quick consensus.
So are we going 1, 2, 3 or overall Debbie order? Because that's far, far different.
Just you know, if you're on the board, who you, and these are your only three guys to choose from, who are you picking?
Oh, if I'm on the board right now, I'm taking CJ Johnson first. Love his big play, his physicality, and just that those yards as a freshman. So if I'm on the board in a CDC league, definitely taking him. And then I've got Warren Jackson second, and then I'm coming back on the third pick, and I'm putting Reggie Roberson. But that's just me.
Yeah, I don't hate that at all. For me, if it's a traditional Debbie league, I'm probably taking Warren Jackson because I got to wait 2 years for CJ Johnson. And then I would take CJ Johnson, and then I would take Roberson. But in a C2C league, I could easily sneak CJ Johnson ahead of Jackson. But I do like Jackson a ton, so I don't think you're wrong either way you go there.
Okay. And I would probably do the same as you. I'd go Jackson first, CJ Johnson second, and Roberson third. Maybe I fell a little too much in love with Jackson, but man, I loved watching that guy play. So I'm looking forward to another season for him. All right, Shaq, up to your next guy. We're going to switch over to a running back from Buffalo, Jarrett Patterson. This kid, wow.
Yeah, he's legit, right? I mean, the Walter Camp preseason All-American team that goes back like over 100 years or something like that. There was a name on the preseason All-American team that shocked a lot of people, but not those who had watched the kid play. And it was Jarrett Patterson, running back out of the University of Buffalo, the Buffalo Bulls. His first team All-Mac last year, rightfully so. He had 312 rushes, 1,799 yards and 19 scores, also 13 catches, 209 yards and a touchdown receiving as well. So that puts him over 2,000 scrimmage yards, 6.2 yards per touch. He absolutely is crazy athletic and has had prolific output. What's the knock on him then? You'd like to see him a little bit bigger, 5'9", 195. You'd love to see him get a little thicker, be able to add some weight. That BMI will be concerning to some teams, but it's obvious he's going to get a shot at the next level. Now, if you're playing college fantasy football, he's a first-round draft pick. Easy, okay? In C2C, I think you're going to hold off more often than not. You're going to hold off, and you're not going to have him quite that high in C2C because what is his ceiling? I see his ceiling as a day two ceiling for NFL, but it feels like with his size and conference that he plays in and level of competition, I think that may keep him more of a fourth round guy with a ton of potential and promise, but I could easily see at the same time that he jumps into that ceiling range of being a day two draft capital guy. If he does that, hell yeah, man. You got a value in C2C leagues if you scooped him after the first round because he's got a ton of potential. There's no doubt about it. I will say I'm going to give a little heads up note that a super underrated fact that people don't talk about when they talk about Jarrett Patterson, he has a teammate in his backfield, Kevin Mox, who is dirt cheap. I got him in round 40-something of the Nerds C2C draft. And he was over 1,000 yards last season, right? So the Buffalo rushing attack is crazy delicious, all right? Fact. So yeah, he was over 1,000 yards as well. So he's like 6'2", so he's got some decent size to him. He's clearly not as dynamic, clearly not as explosive as Jared Patterson, but pretty decent as a runner as well. So keep an eye out for Mox when you tune in to watch Buffalo to watch Jared Patterson. And by the way, you should tune in to watch Buffalo to watch Jared Patterson because he's damn good. Thoughts, fellas?
Yeah, so obviously, Shaq, you know, I respect your opinion so much and respect your takes like crazy, but I've got to respectfully disagree with you on this one, man. When I watched Jared Patterson, he was the one guy out of all nine guys we scouted that made me literally get out of my seat. I mean, he was the most fun game film to watch. He was the one that looked the most explosive, and I had the most enjoyable time watching this kid play. When you watch his game, he's a physical runner. And that's an understatement. If I could throw about 10 more physicals onto that, I would do it. When you looked at him, I saw one play where he literally carried four defensive linemen like 5 yards and fell forward 5 yards. I mean, the strength on him, I'm not worried about his size. He is such a physical runner. He has, while his speed's not the best, obviously the best speed out in the, that we're going to talk about tonight, he still has the speed to house runs, take it the distance. He's got good vision to bounce in between the tackles and to bounce to the outside when he needs to. And he's an athlete, man. And I love me some Jared Patterson. If I'm taking a guy out of any of the guys we're talking about tonight, it's Jared Patterson. And that's how much I like the kid.
I like it.
Yeah, it's legit. I respect that, Matt. I respect that. Hell yeah, absolutely. Like I said, like I think he's a first round pick easy in college fantasy. I do worry a little bit about his ceiling as a pro. That's really my only concern more than anything. Like, you can be physical, but can you take the physical beating? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's that would be my only concern really. But other than that, yeah, I think he's great.
Yeah, I'll admit I got a little excited too. I wasn't, you know, pants off excited like Matt was clearly, but I'm surprised that he's only 195 pounds because he doesn't play like he's only 195
Absolutely doesn't
pounds.
Play
he
like it.
He does. I caught the same stuff. I mean, his contact balance was awesome. I mean, he just maintained his balance, you know, through tackles and stuff. He's a strong runner. I liked him. He quick cut and acceleration. I mean, yeah, this kid was exciting to watch. But I hear what you're saying, Shaq, on the draft, you know, the protected draft stock that he's going to get. You know, if he hits day two in the NFL draft, then giddy up. Let's go.
Absolutely.
But if he slips into day three, you want it to be early day three. He could end up being one of those day three steals. We've seen it, of course. But yeah, he was fun to watch, and I can't wait to watch more of him. Another guy that I think is really fun to watch. He's one of my favorites. We're going to go to your second guy, Matt. This is Marquez Stevenson from Houston. How much do you like Marquez?
I like Marquez, not as much as obviously I like Patterson, but Marquez is a good player, man. He could definitely ball out. He's a 6 foot, even 190 pound wide receiver, junior wide receiver. He plays bigger than this though, so don't let that size fool you. He definitely plays bigger than 190. Finished last season with 75 receptions for 1,019 yards and 9 touchdowns. Oh, actually, he did that in 2018. He finished last season with 52 receptions for 900 yards and 9 touchdowns. He did this, while this may seem like a drop in production, he just played one less game. So it wasn't a huge drop in production by playing one less game. He was an all-AAC player. This kid has got speed for days, guys. He's constantly outrunning safeties that are 20 yards, 25 yards in front of him. I mean, he's taken wide receiver screens and end-arounds all the way to the distance. I mean, he's clearly the fastest guy on the field every time he touches the ball. So that's one thing that is really huge in Stevenson's game. He's also got good concentration to make those back shoulder sideline catches. He's got a wicked stutter step. The way he throws his body one direction and then explodes in the other, it's insane watching him play. One concern that I kind of do have on him, he's a bit of a body catcher. That doesn't hinder his ability to make the contested catch, but you like to see your wide receivers be a little more clean at the catch point. He can run routes. I noted that he ran the fade, out route, corner, post, comeback, and definitely ran the streak route a few times on some of the games that I was watching. So he's got a rather advanced route tree from somebody that you expect just to run a bunch of streaks all the time and for them to just send him downfield. So he's one that I like a whole lot. He does work in the return game as well. We talked about how much we like guys that can do work in the return game. He even took 2 kickoffs back for touchdowns this year. So he's pretty explosive in the return game. Guys, he's a fast receiver. He can move. He can get downfield in a hurry. And he's one guy that if you're looking for somebody that's just going to outrun and be the most the fastest guy on the field. This is the guy you're looking for.
You know what? You mentioned earlier about stealing my notes, and I think there you I stole yours. You stole mine, because that's exactly what I noticed. Everything you mentioned, I had written down, the body catching, but then the phenomenal speed, you know, taking two kick returns to the house. This guy can run for days. He's fun to watch, and I think he needs to be on people's radar, because when you get that kind of speed, even though, you know, he's only 190 pounds, you know, that gets more and more overlooked in the NFL draft these days. If you're wicked fast, you will get a high draft pick. So it's interesting to see where this guy might go if he has another really productive season and he wows people at the combine. Shaq, how about you? What do you think?
Yeah, I like Marcus Stevenson a lot. I think it gets lost in the shuffle a little bit how rough last year went. In some respects, Dana Holgerson's first year at Houston, Derek King starts the year, just benches himself and says, I'm gonna redshirt this year and transfer and play one more year somewhere else, and he ends up at Miami. But, you know, so it's not like Clayton Tune was expected to be the quarterback for Houston last year. The quarterback play, I think we can all agree, was a step down from what we would have expected for D.R. King. And so Clayton Tune is back. He's developed. He's coming along. And Holgerson already came out and said it's Clayton Tune's team. He knows it. And there's not a lot of competition for anyone to take that job. So they're able to build on the chemistry they were able to start last year. I like the fact that he, even if it was slightly down in terms of yardage, in terms of receptions, his yards per reception went up. Mm-hmm. And we like to see that. I mean, that's 17.4 yards per reception. That's, you'd love to see that. I mean, that's indicative of the kind of speed that he has, able to stretch the field. Yeah, I like Marcus Stevenson a lot, man. I think if he has the kind of year that I think he's capable of having, he could absolutely make himself some money in the NFL draft, no doubt.
Yeah, if I'm, you know, getting back to our kind of rankings, you know, from earlier, we talked about, you know, Jackson, CJ Johnson, kind of the top two. I put him into that kind of tier. For me, I'd probably put him at second, right after Jackson, just above CJ Johnson. I've kind of got those guys lumped in there. I don't know what you guys think. Matt, how about you? Where do you have him in relation to those other two?
I can probably respect that a whole lot. I would probably still have him third, but that gap is really, really quick. And I could just as easily flip, for me, Jackson and Stevenson, but I think I'm still keeping Johnson, Jackson, and then Stevenson third, but definitely a short gap.
Shaq, how about you? Where does he fall for you?
He falls behind Jackson, CJ, and Patterson for me. But he's in that next tier of the guys we're discussing tonight. So I still like him. I like a lot of these guys that we're talking about. But yeah, I think he's got a year ahead of him that could really light up the fire in terms of his prospect status. But I think it's always tempting for us to anoint everybody an amazing prospect. You know what I mean? And that doesn't play out that way. So it's tempting in the offseason to say that everybody's amazing and he's a damn good college football player. I think he's going to be a good NFL player. But a lot of the next year is going to tell us how good of an NFL player he's going to have a chance to be.
Yeah, I totally agree. Jaden Blue is the next guy on the list. He's mine from the Temple Owls. Redshirt junior. He's 6 feet, 185 pounds. He had a really awesome season in 2019, 95 catches, 1,067 yards, and 4 touchdowns. My analysis of this guy is that he gets open and he catches everything. Really good route runner. He's not afraid to go over the middle and take that hit. He's a shifty runner as well that will produce yards after the catch. You know, obviously playing for Temple, this guy doesn't get a lot of pub. I think he's definitely a deeper dive, but man, when you're catching 95 balls in college, You're a complete player. I mean, this kid was darn good to watch, and I would really be interested to see what you guys think about him. You know, Shaq, what are your initial thoughts on Jaden Blue?
I like Jaden Blue. He's one of those underrated dudes. So he's another guy to have eyeballs on as we go through what we hope is a great college football season. I like what he does out of the slot. He's one of those slot guys. We got a couple guys in the last four tonight that are real slot threats, and that used to be almost like a negative connotation to it. But in PPR fantasy football, being a slot receiver can be a great thing. And so Jaden Blue, I like what he does out of the slot. He's got reasonable size. You'd like to see him put on a little bit of weight if he can. 185 is not the thickest, but it's certainly ample. It's not problematic. I like the fact that the kid has, you talked about the yak. I think he really flashes on film some nice football awareness, sideline awareness, first down awareness. He's tough as hell, takes some hits, still makes the catches. So, I like Jaden Blue. I mean, he's going to be down the list in terms of your rankings coming from Temple, but he's a guy that definitely that could, you know, shoot up as a prospect as things move forward here.
Yeah, Shaq, you hit on it. He's definitely a tough kid. You know, I watched several times where he's going up to make a catch and he just gets obliterated by a safety or cornerback coming down. He still makes the catch. So he's a physical, tough to bring down runner. And as we've talked about all night tonight, speed's the theme here for the night. And he's another fast guy. He's definitely got the speed. He's one that didn't really impress me as much as some of the other guys we're talking about tonight. And I don't know if that's a knock on him for me or we're just talking about guys that are so exciting to watch their game film. So that's something I'm trying to figure out. He's not a bad wide receiver by any means. He can definitely play and he's got skills for sure. But he just seemed like another wide receiver to me.
It's fair.
Yeah, I hear you. He's definitely lower on the list for me. I mean, if we're putting him in there with the other guys that we're talking about, I'd probably slot him in at the bottom of the rankings.
Oh, I see what you did there, Dad.
thank you. It doesn't mean I don't like him, but you know, I think those other guys I like just a little bit more, sometimes a lot more. Let's go to the next guy. And this is one, and I could be wrong, but I got a feeling that Shaq really is looking forward to talking about the Notre Dame wide receiver, Kevin Austin. Tell us about this guy. And am I right or wrong that you were excited to talk about this one?
I am. I'm excited to talk. I can't tell you that I have a ton to say, except if you have an ability in a C2C league to go out and acquire Kevin Austin, especially if it's a C2C league that started, you know, recently, because he's off radars. Nobody has Kevin Austin on a big high profile right now. He was a former top 100 recruit. He had a mere 5 catches, 90 yards, 0 touchdowns as a true freshman. 2 seasons ago. He didn't play at all in 2019. He was reportedly suspended. We don't know what for, but he was still with the team all year, still practicing, still working. Okay, stuck with everything, took whatever punishment he had there, and he was reportedly running with the first team in the limited spring practices that Notre Dame was able to get in. He is expected at this point to start on a top 10 team. We don't have a ton of video on him, but look, that Chase Claypool role is wide open. There's a job to be had there. Austin is big. He's 6'2", 210. He's fast. He's physical. He's a long strider with some very nice top-end speed and the ability to accelerate well to get there to that top-end speed. Look, you watch the kid's high school highlights, and you're like, oh, whoa. They'll open your eyes, right? You understand why he was a former top 100 recruit. He's kind of been forgotten about, along with Devin Williams. Kevin Austin from Notre Dame is one of my guys I expect to explode this year. Maybe I'm wrong. I've been wrong plenty of times. But I love those two players. Kevin Austin, I feel the most confident about because I think he's going to waltz in there and do beautiful things. But yeah, Kevin Austin, I dig him. What are you guys' thoughts?
You know, you can't really say that he's not on anybody's radar because you guys have successfully completed your attempts to make me frustrated in our CDC leagues because the last two nights I've gone and I've looked up Kevin Austin and he happened to be on Shaq's team. And then I go look up somebody else. I can't remember who exactly it was, but he was on Skip's team as well. So you guys are definitely doing your fair duty and irritating me in our CDC leagues because all of these good guys that I want on my team, I can't get access to because they're sitting on you guys' roster. So kudos to you.
Sorry, not sorry, sir.
Kudos to y'all, I guess. But when you look at Kevin Austin, yeah, I love Kevin Austin. He's got wicked top-end speed, like you said, Shaq. He can go up and get the ball, too. He can definitely high-point the ball really well. There's not much game film on him, but the game film that there is on him is impressive. And he's somebody that if you don't have Shaq or Skip in your leagues, go out and get because he's somebody that you need on your roster.
Yeah, I think when we talked about, you know, kind of the premise for the show and let's go gem hunting, this is a gem that Shaq has found. I mean, it's a great catch. for this guy to call this guy out, because these are definitely the kind of players that people aren't going to be as aware of. You know, player misses an entire season, and it's not because of injury. It's not, you know, it's not like a guy that, you know, had 70 catches for 1200 yards in 2018, and then he gets hurt. And so, you know, people are aware of him. They just might've forgotten a little bit. This is a guy that wasn't, you know, on anybody's radar, because he didn't do anything his freshman year other than a few catches. So I think this is a great guy to expect, you know, a breakout. It'll be fun to see if that happens. You know, I saw everything you guys saw as well, with the, you know, really good hands, uses his size well, wins contested catches, and of course the nice speed. So yeah, that'll be fun to watch. We're going to go to our next guy, Matt, the only tight end on our list tonight. You've got Matt Bushman. Tell us about the BYU tight end.
Yeah, so when I originally chose Matt Bushman to watch, I kind of was sitting there. I was like, well, we need to throw in some deep dive guys. So here's one that I kind of wanted to talk about. And guys, he's one that when you look at his stats and his game film is really impressive. And he's somebody that just completely jumps off the screen for you. He's a 6'5", 245-pound junior tight end. So he's definitely got some really nice size to him. He finished last season with 42 receptions for 688 yards and 4 touchdowns. That was first in yards and touchdowns and second on the team in receptions. It's cool to note, though, guys, that he was the number 3 in tight end yards per reception. So he's got some big play potential to him. This was the 3rd straight year that he actually led his team in receiving yards. So a lot of the offense goes through Mr. Bushman here. BYU lost 3 receivers through either graduation or whatnot, so there's lots of vacated production to go around, and a lot of that should go to Matt Bushman. We mentioned that he was number 3 in tight end yards per reception. He was also number 6 in receiving yards for FBS tight ends in general, and number 10 in receptions. So he's definitely somebody that, while isn't on a lot of guys' radars, probably should be. He was a Mackey Award and Walter Camp Award watch list the last 2 seasons, and as a freshman year, during his freshman year, had more production and the most production by BYU tight ends since Dennis Pitta in 2009. So this is somebody that for some reason isn't on a lot of guys' rosters, and he absolutely needs to be. When you look at his game film, he is a big play threat. He's a physical receiver that uses his size to box out smaller defensive backs and safeties. He's got a really nice spin move that I was impressed to see in the open field. He caught one pass and was running downfield and spun and juked a guy out, which for 245 pounds is pretty impressive to watch on game film. He's really agile on his feet, and for a big guy, he has really awesome speed. There was one play where I saw him running a streak and outran a defensive back to catch a long touchdown. So he's got the speed, he's got the size, he's a great hands catcher. Guys, this is one guy that when you watch his film, I went in and I was not as excited to watch his film, but once I got to it, he's somebody that was super exciting and that I think needs to be talked about a whole lot more than he is right now.
Yeah, I really like Bushman as well. I think this is a great example of a guy that if he were playing in a big time program, he'd be getting a lot more publicity and he'd be higher up on people's rankings. I think he's kind of getting overlooked. You know, he's not that, you know, that freak athlete that you're going to get like a Kyle Pitts or a Brevin Jordan, of course, but he's a good athlete and he's physical. That's what I saw when you're looking at film of this guy, there's a lot of film of him just blocking. And I know you don't get, you know, fantasy points for blocking, and some people say, oh, I don't care if the guy can block, but the NFL cares if a guy can block. And if he's blocking, he's going to stay on the field. And the more you're on the field, the more opportunity you're going to have to run routes and get targets. And I think that's something to consider with a guy like this, because he does have good hands. He does run good routes. I mean, he's kind of that nice, standard, all around good tight end, I think, that you can see succeeding at the next level. Shaq, I'm really interested to hear what you have to say about him.
Yeah, I think he's going to do well in the NFL. I really do. I think he's going to move on, and I'm not sure with the draft capital next year, it's considered an excellent tight end class. But I think Matt Bushman is an underrated dude who could go higher than people think, and I think he has a very nice career ahead of him at the NFL level. Matt, I love that you hit on the agility and the, I think, surprising speed that he has at the tight end position. I think if anything with his size, it seems like he could get even thicker. 245 at 6'5". I mean, sometimes when you watch him run, maybe that's, I don't know. He's got a lot of speed, but I think if he adds a little to that frame, I don't think NFL coaches will mind one bit. Because he's not going to be outrunning NFL defensive backs. But I like Bushman a lot. I took him in the Survivors League C2C with a bunch of guys I have tons of respect for. No pick that I made. I took him in at the end of the 17th round. No pick that I made in the entire draft made more guys talk and squawk and go, oh, you sniped me. I was looking for him. I was gunning for him. And so, you know, he's a guy that if you know the game, he's an excellent ad and you can get him cheap. So he's worth getting. If you can do it in a C2C, definitely hunt him down. Give it a shot.
All right. The last guy is mine, Khalil Shakir from Boise State. He's a junior, 6 feet, 186. This is another guy that is kind of going with the theme that we have today, and that's fast. This guy is quick. He's shifty. He runs pretty good routes as well. Total yak guy. He had 63 catches, 872 yards, and 6 touchdowns receiving, as well as 66 yards rushing and 3 more scores. So this guy can make things happen, you know, multiple ways. He also can make some tough catches, and I liked his field awareness as well. It just seemed like he knew where the sidelines were, knew how to get his feet down. He's just a playmaker. When this guy touches the ball, things happen, and I like that in wide receivers, especially running backs too. But you know, it just seemed like things happened when he got his hands on the ball. And would love to know, you know, Matt, what were your notes on this guy? Did I miss anything, or are we writing the same thing as usual?
No, we're all in the same boat. You know, you mentioned how he's a game changer. And when you watch his film, he's used as a wide receiver. He's used in the wildcat. He's used at running back, even looking like a running back after the ball's in his hand. So he's definitely an agile, quick guy who is just a natural guy in open space. One thing that you didn't hit on that I want to make sure that we hit on is just his ability to create separation. You know, we talked about how C.J. Johnson, we had some issues with his ability to create separation. I have none of those issues when I watch Shakir's film. Every time I see him catch the ball, and you guys can maybe talk on this a little bit, but every time I see him catch a pass, there's nobody within like 5 yards of him. And I know that's not because guys aren't paying attention to him. He's that good at creating separation in the open field, and he's physical when he gets the ball in his hand. He plays with a mean streak. He goes after contact, and he runs through guys. So he's somebody that I have higher up on my boards that we're talking about tonight, just because he was another one of those guys whose film jumped out to me when I was watching.
So where do you rank him with the other guys that we talked about then?
For me, I would probably – we talked about how I like Jared Patterson. I would probably rank Jared Patterson – first, I know that's going to be really controversial to say, but I love Jared Patterson's film. And then I would probably go, honestly, whether it be controversial or not, I would put Shakir second and then going C.J. Johnson third. Because, I mean, when I'm watching film, I like there's something that the way guys jump out to me on film that really makes me open my eyes and go, you know, I want to watch more film of him. I want to see what more he's about. So those are the two guys that I would probably go 1-2 with C.J. Johnson being 3 at the moment. But these guys are so close, guys, it could go any sort of direction after 3 or 4 for me.
Shaq, how about you? What do you think of Shakir?
I like him. I think he's fast. I think he stands out as a guy who should be playing somewhere other than the Mountain West. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way, but he just kind of has pop to his game. He has some sizzle to him that I think looks like one of these kids is not like the other sometimes when you see him play. I mean, he led the Broncos in receptions, second in receiving yards behind John Hightower, who was drafted to the Eagles, to your Eagles, Matt. So I like Shakir. I think he's a little bit lanky, and it doesn't read that way. I mean, he's 6'1", 186. That doesn't sound super lanky, but he looks kind of lanky when he plays the game. But yeah, I like the stuff that you guys hit on. Good awareness, good ability to separate, and he works out of the slot, and he excels out of the slot. So I think he has the potential to climb up some boards as we move forward this year. Yeah, I like Shakir.
Awesome. Well, hey, that is the end of our show. We will be coming back soon with part 2 of this series, because we've got about another 9 guys to talk about that are not Power 5 guys that we definitely want to hit on. So we will be recording that as soon as possible. But before we sign off, Matt, why don't you tell us, you know, any final thoughts you have? And of course, where can people find you and your work?
Yeah. So those of you that are listening, these are a lot of gems that we've mentioned. So if anything, go out, search your league, see if any of these guys are on rosters, because these are some of these guys we've talked about tonight are definitely ones that could see a massive increase in production. So that's all I'm going to say about that. You guys can find me on Twitter at DHH_Matt. My ranks are at the Dynasty Happy Hour. I just updated those last weekend, so they're fresh. We just rolled out fresh ranks, so check those out and start looking at some of these guys that should be on your rosters either now or in the near future.
All right, Shaq, how about you? What are any final thoughts you have, and where can people find all the stuff that you do?
Yeah, I like that little note that you had there at the end, Matt. I mean, some of these guys, they're not necessarily, certainly not for a traditional Devy League, guys that you're going to go and be able to add at this point. But look, first of all, if you're in a traditional Devy League, make sure you're getting involved in a campus to can't league because they're the best. Anyway, secondarily, yeah, I think these guys are, players to watch as we move forward in the 2020 season. Even if they're not going anywhere near your rosters yet, they're guys you're going to want to know moving forward and know them well. So have eyes on them, and I think you're going to be glad that you did. My rankings are available at DynastyHappyHour.com. I also contribute a whole bunch over at Dynasty Nerds, working on a video right now for Dynasty Nerds that's going to be a recap of my thoughts as I went through the team build in our recent Devy Nerds team C2C draft. So for people who are getting involved in Campus to Can't Leagues, wanted to sort of just give one guy's 2 cents going through that journey. I mean, that's a month plus long journey to go through 45 rounds of a slow draft in an NCAA Campus to Canton League. So I'm working on that, and I'll have that out soon.
Awesome. It sounds great. And of course, my name is Skip Newton. I'm at SkipNewton31 on Twitter. You can DM me anytime. Just reach out. We are still trying to get some FC eliminators, eliminator going, the work that put together by John Bosch to raise money for the Scott Fishbowl and other charities. If you're interested, we need to get this going if we're gonna make it happen. So just reach out on Twitter, DM, and we'll get that set up. We just need to get at least 10 people to start so we can get on the list. And I've only got a couple right now besides us. So we need people to commit. So please reach out if you can. Otherwise, my work is also on DynastyHappyHour.com. I do my rankings there, and I'm going to keep those updated frequently as I continue to do more and more research. I'm also working on an article where I really want to focus on guys that I think whose value is going to increase pretty significantly within this next season. So guys that you might be able to get a little cheaper now, not have to give up as much, whether it's draft capital or in a trade, but you're going to be glad you did because their value is going to improve in a year. So I'm going to focus on that in an article. And that is it for the show. Just want to say thank you, listeners, and everyone for listening and tuning in, for interacting with us on Twitter. It's a lot more fun to contact and interact with everybody. You guys are awesome. We really appreciate it. If you can leave us a rating and review, we'd appreciate that too. And for Matt and for Brian, my name is Skip. Thank you. Good night, and be a good human.